The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday, so it's your day to get one step closer to the Lord. Hopefully, as we dive into Ephesians chapter 5, we come to practical wisdom from the Lord. Ready for this? You've never heard this on Christian radio before. Ready? Don't be a ding-dong. Okay, next, we examine the possibilities of divine appointments. And finally, a touch to the will of God.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. All three things are good. To survive is good, to live is good, and to prevail is good. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey. So much more. How much more? So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? We'd like you to text us at 214-210-8483. If you got a question, if you got a praise report, prayer request, doesn't matter. We keep it all confidential. And just to let you know, we do have trivia, and the trivia opening question is, who got Joseph thrown into prison by lying about him? If you know that answer, 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483. That's what you want to text. If you call me, I can't take the call during the show, as you know. So give us a text. Let us know who it was, who did that, who got Joseph thrown into prison by lying about him. Ooh. Keep in mind, all topics are open for conversation because it's not professional radio. No, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. As you know, when we do Expository Thursday, we don't do our typical ministry partner review. So let me give a shout-out to Clint and Mr. Restore, who are great partners with us, taking care of your fire and water, smoke, wind, and flood damage. Don't forget our ministry partner, Johnny Hill and Men of God Moving, another great ministry partner. And also, don't forget Kimberly Ellis, another great ministry partner from Fathom Realty. If you have any questions, you can reach out to any three of these folks, any three of these ministry partners, simply by going to hemustincrease.org. There's a link on the website. All of them are accessible, and they'd be glad to help in any possible way that they can. Things to remember as we get rolling, because this is a lot of material in a short span of time. So do I talk fast? Not nearly as fast as my grandmother or my mother. Just think of that. We always talk about our DNA, Christian DNA, drawing closer to the Lord. Draw closer to the Lord. Just don't draw close. Draw closer and closer and closer to the Lord, as close as you can. Why? Well, in eternity, you're going to be spending the entire time with God. If you're not getting used to hanging out with God, you probably want to start that process at some point. That's why we say, draw closer to the Lord, D-N. Never be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, ever, even if it means the loss of everything. Never be ashamed. And always, always, how often? Always, how often? Always be ready. That's our DNA. A couple things to tell you about history, and then we're going to get into the depth of the word. Oh, my goodness. There's some stuff I'm going to share with you. I'm excited. Okay, a couple things to also to tell you. We are going to planning on being on the studio on Monday, I had to sign a waiver, sign some forms. We had to have some things documented saying that I won't go around and try to get everybody sick or something. Well, I just do that on the airwaves, so I don't know why they thought that. But bottom line is we're going to try and be in the studio on Monday. If something comes up, the owner wisely has reserved that right up until like a four-hour period to pull it back. So right now that's the plan, but if it changes, it changes. You can just be with me in prayer. Hopefully I'll be able to get in there. The only negative thing from doing it on in the house from the Fate Studios, the Spoon Studios, is my hand keeps cramping in the shape of the phone. That could be a little bit of a problem. For those that don't know, today is Dance Like a Chicken Day. Yeah, you can just go right outside in your front porch right now, dance like a chicken. You'll be right in sync with everything that's going on. It's the Stars and Stripes Forever Day, always good, and National Buttermilk Biscuits Day. Yeah, I gotta like that. For those that want a little bit of a history lesson, on this day in 1948, Israel declared on this day to be an independent state. That's a very important date. 1973, on this day, Skylab, the United States' first space station, was launched. Interesting. Also, 1853 on this day, Gail Borden. You're thinking, Gail Borden, why does that sound familiar? Gail Borden applied for a patent for condensed milk. That's why. And then finally, in 1998 on this day, the last episode of Seinfeld aired. A lot of people don't care, but here's the funny part. A lot of people do. That's what we got for our history. Let's get ready for, I want you to be prepared for, I'm forewarning you to get ready for Expository Thursday.
Wow! 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 All I can say is wow! 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 All I can say is wow!
That's all I can say, folks. Wow! Wow! Okay, a couple things to tell you. We're in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. We're going to do verse 15, 16, 17, and half of 18. Okay, so listen to that. Half of 18. Why? Because the other half of 18 has to do with being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you better know I'm going to take an entire show for that one principle. And you're going to hear the Baptist point of view. So if you're Baptist, you're going to go, I'm not sure I've heard that before. If you're Pentecostal, you're going to go, I'm not sure I've heard that before. But you're going to hear the smitherings of my theology in regards to being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's next week when we do expository. But today we're going to go from Ephesians 5:15 to 18a. If you don't know this in Scripture, Scripture is often broken down to A, B, C, and D within a Scripture. So this is what we're going to cover today. Be careful, very careful, then, how you live. This is Ephesians 5:15. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understanding what the Lord's will is, and do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. This is the text that we're in, and it says, be very careful then how you live. I've got to say this, and I love you guys, and you can't get really that mad at me, but there is this attitude that is being communicated in Scripture. It is not a sense of fear, but it has to do with walking circumspectly or carefully or thoughtfully. It is in regards to our need, watch this, to concentrate on our walk. You know how we concentrate on certain things? Like if you're doing a puzzle, you're concentrating on getting the puzzle done. Or if you're gluing something, you really have to concentrate. Me, I have to use glasses and then ask my wife to do it because I can never just put it together. But the bottom line is you really got to think about it. You got to concentrate. Well, when Paul's writing under the verbal plenary process, which is the Holy Spirit using him without him losing his personality, he says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. So this is referring to our level of concentration on our Christianity. And it doesn't say, kind of think about it, it says be very careful. And the reason for that is because people who are not careful quickly get caught up in the wrong things or quickly get distracted. And that's the number one. You come up with all the things you can come up with that the enemy uses against people. And I find it fascinating when people go, I never have any problems with Satan. I never have any difficulty. And then I'll say, well, how much time do you spend with God on a daily basis? And they're like, what? Spend time with God? I don't have time for that. That's the enemy using distraction right there. So we need to be very careful how we live. And then it says this, and this is the part you might not like, but it is what it is. It says, not as unwise, but as wise. It means walk wisely. It means don't be walking in thoughtlessness. It means don't be a ding-dong Christian. Have you ever noticed on the news or on a story or at something, they'll interview the person and you'll watch the person on the television or you'll listen to the interview on radio and you're just thinking, what happened? Did they just check out of society? Is their mind left the building? That's the ding-dong process. Don't be a ding-dong Christian. Don't be ridiculous like that. Walk wisely. Don't walk foolishly. Walk thoughtfully, not thoughtlessly. Walk with a general mindset that's concentrated on the kingdom of God. Does that mean that you never think about anything else? What are you talking about? I love pizzas and tacos. Of course you think about other stuff. But don't be so distracted that the kingdom of God becomes this distant mist that floats away, kind of like Pluto floated away from being a planet, and now we don't even know what it is, which, by the way, is a ripoff for all of those, like myself, who did science fair projects and had Pluto as a planet. That is not fair, and I object. Bottom line, walk very carefully. Concentrate on your walk. Think about your walk as you're walking. Be wise in it. Don't be a ding-dong. Don't be, what's the word I want to use? No, ding-dong, that's it. That's the word I want to use. And the reason is because you need to be aware that there's a craftiness built against you. There's an enemy against you. And the bottom line is that the enemy wants to quiet you, quench you, squish you, get rid of you. That's why you got to be aware of it. And it's not an insult at all, in any capacity, really. It's really just an encouragement for us to kind of get in the game. When you wake up, look, I got no problems. You got to get your brains going. You got to get the shower. Or you got to have the coffee. We used to say forgiveness is in the blood, but waking up is in the coffee. The bottom line is, once you get yourself going, get in the game, so to speak. Get your mind concentrating on the things it needs to be concentrating on, and think very carefully how you live, and be wise, not unwise. Okay? All right. That's our intro. You should just see where this can go. All right, the answer, who got Joseph thrown into prison by lying about him? Of course, it's Potiphar's wife that got him tossed in there. That wasn't very nice, was it? Uh-uh. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you're brave enough, stay tuned. We got more to come.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Not wanting to miss a moment, talking about The Moment with Kurt Warner.
Everything looks like you shouldn't go forward. You know, you can't take another step. You know, Peter, you can't step onto water. You just can't do it. Well, we've got to step towards that faith, and we've got to trust God that He's got something awesome for us. And there's no question that that's an underlying theme in this show and in all of our lives, is that we've got to step out in faith if we ever want to be what God's called us to be.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple. And there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media. And on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section. And it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I still like the way it goes, here in Texas. If you want to reach us, you know you can do so texting 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483. So a couple of days ago, one of our listeners just brought up a good point about how many different phrases we use in our lives that are more biblically oriented than we know. And so I've kind of thought about that, and it's really kind of funny because a lot of people don't even recognize that how much is in the Bible that has been placed into their lives on a regular basis, like verbiage and so on and so forth. For to give you an idea, if you've ever watched Star Wars and ever heard about the moons of Endor, Endor actually is a city in the Bible, in case you didn't know that. So the idea there is that next week we're going to kind of challenge on that and talk to people and a couple of different things that you've come across in life that surprised you that were in the Bible that are part of everyday thinking, speaking, talking, and so on and so forth. Just want to give that person a shout out. That was a really good list. They created a nice list, so I printed it off and going to talk about that next week. Okay, so let's go to our trivia question, though. 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483. Tell me if you feel confident. This is a big one. What did the devil offer Jesus if he bowed down and worshipped him? If you remember in the temptations, the devil made an offering, kind of a bribey kind of thing, a temptation. And the question is, what did the devil offer Jesus if he bowed down and worshipped him? Now, what is it that he was offered? Was Jesus offered? Here is the text, 214-210-8483. You're going to probably get the right answer, but the thing I'm going to tell you at the end of this section will really surprise you. I think it'll really be a blessing for you. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. On there we have video, and we have audio, and we have my testimony and radio interviews, different elements, 2,400 hours that you can link to of podcasts covering every subject you can come up with. No matter what, I mean, just everything everywhere. And we've covered a lot of material over the years, and we plan to keep doing so for many years to come. We encourage you to go there. Also, it's an opportunity to give. And you know I'm pretty careful about talking about giving because I don't want you to feel the obligation to give to our ministry before you need to take care of your home base in the sense of your church or your main ministries that are in your life. But if there's anything that you're able to do, we would appreciate it. It's what sustains us and keeps us going on the air and gives us the chance to keep ministering to people and being a part of the community. Bottom line to that, if you go to hemustincrease.org or hemustincrease.org, kind of in the middle and in two other spots, there's a little link there you can click on and give directly through there. If you can't give, don't stress. I would rather you give literally from your heart what you feel is you're comfortable with, and I would rather you pray for us more than anything else. So I'm going to give you an example of how serious I am about this. So my wife had to work extra hours because it was Mother's Day, and on Mother's Day she gets overtime after a certain amount of hours, and they don't pay great. It's not great pay. But she had a lot of people helping, and her store was number 2 out of 25 stores for Tom Thumb. She was number 2. This is only her second year doing it, so you know, I'm really just super proud of her. Anyway, she got a little bit of overtime, and she just said, do you think we can just give this to share this with the 10 people that helped me? I'm like, whatever amount you're comfortable with, give that, whatever it is, and I'll just support you in that. It just should be like that. It should have that spirit behind it in the things that we do. And don't think I do that all the time. She caught me at a good moment, so I was thinking about something I was going to eat, so she took advantage of me. Email david@hemustincrease.org. That's our email. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now, while you guys are answering that trivia question, I'm going to go into this next portion. We talked about this the other day, verse 16, Ephesians 5, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Making the most of every opportunity has a lot to do with our Christian DNA, right? You want to draw closer to the Lord. You never want to be ashamed, but you always want to be ready. I mean, you sit there. I know that you guys, they're catchy little phrases, but always be ready is a part of the Scriptures. It's what the Scripture tells us to do. It says making the most of every opportunity, which means we need to be, watch this, ready to respond to God and ready to respond for God. Did you catch that? We need to be ready to respond to God and ready to respond for God. If you think about Samuel, when he was a young boy, the Lord called his name, and Samuel was like, what do you want, Eli? Didn't know it was the Lord, and then the Lord called his name, what do you want, Eli? And finally, Eli said to him, hey, next time that happens, say, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. In other words, we need to be ready to respond to God. And if the Lord speaks to you or shows you something, or you're reading in the Scriptures and something bounces out, and you go, wow, and there's an illumination. Did you ever read the Bible and something kind of blows off the page and hits you in the head, and you go, wowza, that's amazing. That's the Lord speaking to you. That's the Lord giving you that moment, that illumination. I mean, it's like that's an important thing. So we got to respond to God, and of course, DNA, we need to respond for God, no matter what it is, prayer, text, you know, it doesn't email, I don't care. It doesn't matter what the format is, as long as we're doing it for Him and in His name. The key in this is to be ready. Because, get ready, there's so much evil, and the time is short. And because of that, the opportunities are crucial. Listen to that. There's so much evil, and man, there's so much evil. I mean, I just can't even want to get into it. Just keep me off that right now. There's so much evil, and the time is short. So the opportunities, they are crucial. And this is where I kind of get into, it's not like an argument or something, it's just my position, is I get into this divine appointment element. I think that in the Scripture and in throughout Scripture, all the way from Genesis to Revelation, Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, there are these moments that God makes these incredible connections of time for people. And sometimes it's an incredible connection. Sometimes it's an incredible miss. So I'll give you two examples. An incredible miss would be Jacob steals the blessing, goes out. A second later, Esau comes in, and they didn't touch each other, like they didn't connect, pass each other in the hallway, so to speak. That's amazing. That's kind of like a divine appointment to miss each other. But there's also divine appointments where God sets things up that are so amazing that only somebody divine could connect that. So you think, well, what would that be like? Would that be like Saul, who thought he was out looking for donkeys, but God, who told Samuel, I'm sending you a king. So there was divine appointment for Saul, who was looking for a donkey, to find Samuel, the prophet. Even though Saul thought he was doing it for one thing, God explained to Samuel he was doing it for another thing. Those are divine appointments. Those are so cool. Now, they don't happen every hour of every day, and it kind of gets a little weird when you talk to people, and it's like, oh, the Lord had me, you know, paint this can green, and then I painted it blue for him, and then he told me to paint it pink. It's like, okay, maybe he should pick a color. That kind of goes back to the whole process. You walk in partnership with God. God doesn't eliminate you. You become one with him. He becomes one with you. He absorbs you without you losing you, okay? Might be a good way to think of it. So the idea is to understand that God sets up timings and appointments throughout your life, but you'll find out that they're much less if you're not open. If you're not open to the Lord using you, if you're not open to being ready, if you're not open to responding to him, then why would he set stuff up for you? So the key in that is not to beat yourself up. And you know, I talk about this stuff all the time. It's to come before the Lord and go, I want more of that stuff. That sounds cool. I want more of the divine appointment, coordinated connections, interesting moments and intersections in time that you're the author of. And I want to be ready, and I want to be able, and I want to respond to you. You see, that's the great things about the kingdom of God. That's the awesome part of being connected to God. The idea that this is some just, you know, grand religion where it gives you a good sense of feeling on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. Man, if that's your Christianity is so weak, it's not even funny. You want to have this engagement with God. No, you're not going to have every second happen like that. But you want to have that. You want that to be a passion of your heart. You want it to be like the scripture says where David wrote, as the deer pants after water, so my soul longs for you. That's what you want. You want that longing for God. And even if you don't have it fully the way you think you need it, just, Lord, help my heart. Just desire more of you. I mean, I always think of Moses, and I think of this because it just fascinates. Here's Moses, spends all this time with God, get to Exodus 33, and he goes, okay, well, Lord, you're doing a great job, and so on and so forth, and now I want to see more. Like, I'm thinking, that is amazing. That guy said that. Now I want to see more. God said, well, I can't show you my face. I'll show you my back. It's like that's what that whole exchange was. Moses wanted more. We should want more. And that's what has to do with making the most of every opportunity, connecting with God. Look, the days are evil. They're going to come to an end, folks. The time is short. The opportunities are crucial. But we'll never be in that partnership with God if we're not aware. So we need to heighten that awareness, heighten that readiness, heighten that willingness. To be prepared to be used by God, even if it's one person that you touch, that could be the ripples that never ends. I mean, just think about the guy that led Billy Graham to make that decision for Jesus Christ. All that stuff he gets credited for. That's not too shabby. All right, the answer to what did the devil offer Jesus if he bowed down and worshipped him was all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. That's what he was offered. Fantastic on the people that answered. Great job. Take a break. Come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No,
to
you
be,
need to do that first. Yeah, I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign.
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain. So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay... He nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Rename the cereal?
No.
Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They're not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies.
You're here when I need you the most.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach us, the way to do so is to text us 214-210-8483. 2 more days of doing this from the Spoon Studios in Fate, and then on Monday we should be back in the home studio base, in the Starship base. Hopefully we will be. I have a quick trivia question. See if you guys can get it. It's not meant to be difficult. Not meant to create any problems. So I'm going to keep it as simple as possible. What does Christ mean? What does the word Christ mean? 214-210-8483. Text 214-210-8483. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. I think we're almost ready to have the plans to build an entire satellite station on that website. So just keep looking. Email david@hemustincrease.org. By the way, you can go to hemustincrease.org and just fill out the form, or you can email me david@hemustincrease.org. That's where the government emails me. And then Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and then YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. So the question on the board, so to speak, is what does Christ mean? What does the word mean? If you know that answer, I will tell you that you just want to text 214-210-8483. The thing I didn't tell you, which I should have told you, in the very last segment, which having to do with the temptation that Jesus had, where all of the kingdoms were offered to him, and that he could reign over them if he would simply bow down and worship the enemy. Here's what I didn't tell you about that. What I didn't tell you is actually in the temptation, if you kind of dig in, and it's just one of those fun things, but you dig in. Actually, Satan was offering Jesus a shortcut to the Messiahship. Listen to that. Jesus was offered a shortcut to the Messiahship, because remember, in the Messiahship, he rules and reigns over the kingdoms and over the nations. Satan tried to offer that to him, literally without having to go to the cross, trying to give him a shortcut, a short step, which always tells you, don't take the shortcut, especially if the source is something bad or something evil. That's something you should just remember in general, okay? Okay, all right. This is one of my favorite things I will ever teach you. or ever communicate with you or ever share with you. That's how important it is. Okay? Again, the trivia question on the board, straightforward and simple. What does Christ mean? If you know that answer, text 214-210-8483. Here it is, verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And you're probably thinking, that's rather a short verse for you to think that's something really important. Yeah, I know. It says, therefore, and the therefore has to do with the previous verse. It always does, so just remember that in the future. Because evil fills the days of man, and because the time is running out, therefore, do not be foolish. All right? The word foolish is aphronus. Aphronus means senseless. No sense of direction. Okay? So it says, therefore, do not be foolish. Do not be aphronous. Do not be senseless. Do not have no sense of direction. But, until you see the word but, you got to know it's going the other direction. Understand what the Lord's will is. And the word understand is sunemi. Sunemi means giving the mind something to grasp. So what Paul says, you know, you're just using the Greek for a little bit of fun, but it's expository. Don't be foolish. Don't be aphronous. Instead, be sunemi. Don't be senseless, but instead give your mind something to grasp relating to the will of God. Don't have no sense of direction. Have a sense of direction. This is why this is one of my favorite teachings, because there are two major components to understand in seizing with your mind, giving the mind something to grasp, having a sense of direction. It is two major components in doing that with the will of God. Now, before somebody has a mental breakdown and says to me, hey, the good, acceptable, good, perfect, and acceptable will of God, three different levels, so on and so forth, like 30, 60, and 90, I mean, you write a thesis paper on it. We'll review it and see if it holds up water. I don't know. Here's what is absolutely correct. There is a general will of God and a specific will of God. The general will of God is for generally everybody. What is the general will of God, Dave? In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, 19, and 20. If you go through that portion, those are general will, the will of God. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So people say, well, I want to find out what the will of God is. I want to know what he wants me to do for my life. Well, I can tell you in a general sense what he absolutely wants you to do, and that's be thankful in everything, because that's what he calls us to do in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And then the person goes, well, I don't care about that. I want the specific will of God. And my response is this. Ready? Why would God give you the specifics if you won't do the generals? Why is God going to give you a specific assignment, a specific will, if we're not willing to do the general assignment and the general will? What do we know is another general will of God? Well, we know that that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know that if you don't walk in love, you're worthless. We know certain elements within the scriptural frame that apply to all of us that require all of us to fulfill. There is a praise attitude. There is a relationship attitude. There is a serving attitude and a giving attitude and a worshipful attitude and a mindset attitude that's all towards the Lord. All of that stuff has to be in play if you're looking for God to give you the specifics. He's already given people the generals and the general will of God, and people aren't doing it. And I've had people say, well, I'm not going to do that stuff till I know exactly what he wants me to do. That is the exact opposite way to approach that. Instead, do all the things that requires that God requires all of us to do, and he will give you the specifics. He will give you those things. If you're not going to respond to him in those little things, why is he going to give you the big things? That's just, I mean, it's exactly what Jesus said. And so the idea is to understand that there we need to be these kind of these people that are not lost in our sense of direction. We're not senseless, but instead we're giving our mind something to grasp. And what is it we're supposed to be doing that towards? The will of God, and that means fulfilling the general will of God and thereby putting ourselves in a position to fulfill the specific will of God. And the bottom line is there are a multitude of things in Scripture that we can be working on while we're going through that process. Now, you don't have to fulfill every general will of God to ever hear anything from God specifically. It's not what I'm saying. But you can't be a person that says, God never tells me what to do if you're not doing the general thing. Because it's just not true. It's just not accurate. And why that's important is because if you're not willing to give thanks, now I know there's some people that argue, well, I can give thanks after everything. Well, it doesn't say that. It says give thanks in all things. And if you give God thanks in the beginning because you believe he's going to work it out, I don't think God's going to be upset that you're being thankful. I'm a little more concerned about Christians who get mad at other Christians because they want to be thankful. I mean, those are the best people in the world. Who doesn't want to hang out with those people? They're thankful for everything. They're always happy. I love it. That's awesome. But the idea is to understand that there is a general will of God. Love is involved. Hope is involved. Faith is involved. The greatest of these is love. The bottom line is thanksgiving is involved. And connecting with one another and fellowship is involved. Impossible to serve one another if you never connect to one another. It's impossible to do. And so these are just general things that God says, I want you guys doing these things. I mean, you just think about it. And when you do that, then the specific assignments become more clear to you. I think the path becomes more lightened for you. And you might think, well, I've done the specific will of God, and I'm doing the general will of God. Well, I got a message for you. You know when you're done? When the trumpet blows for everybody, or when the trumpet blows for you. But until that happens, there's more to do. I mean, John probably thought he was done when he was on the island of Patmos. Oops, time to write the book of Revelation. It's just like, the Lord doesn't do stuff the way we do stuff. He's much smarter than we are. Right? I mean, it's just to think about the Lord. It's just amazing. It's amazing how smart and how wise. So you understand that God has a general will and a specific will. Be engaged, involved, and participating in the general will, and the specific will moments will come. Because if you think you don't have an assignment, you've not read your Bible. And that would be your next assignment. Read the Bible. Because then you would know what it has to say. Knowing the will of God, not being senseless, but giving your mind something to grasp, doing it generally and prepared to do it specifically, that is how we are supposed to walk. Isn't that cool? I mean, I love that stuff. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, so on the trivia question, what does Christ mean? It technically, the word Christ means anointed one. Anointed is actually what it means. So it's important to understand that when people get into the Messiah is the Hebrew word for Christ. It means anointed. Chosen could be another definition for that. We can argue that later, but I think you guys get the idea. We'll take a short break and come back. I've got a very intense segment. I hope you're ready for it. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
That a joyful heart makes like medicine. If you've got a better joke than these, you can call and tell me, but it's got to be a better joke. How do groups of angels greet each other? Ready for this one? Halo, halo, halo. Come on, like halo. Come on, you don't like that one? Oh, come on. Which servant of God was the most flagrant lawbreaker in the Bible? Moses. He broke all 10 commandments at once. See, because he threw down the tent. Where was Solomon's temple located? Do you know that one? On the side of his head. What? That's a legend. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it. Okay. How do we know that there were automobiles in Jesus' time? Do you know this one? It's an old one. It's very simple. Because the Bible says that all the disciples went out and were in one accord. Okay. All right. Did you hear about the dial-up prayer service they have for atheists now? Did you hear about that? You dial the number, it rings and rings and rings, and nobody answers.
Spoon!
Okay. Somebody's going to dislike this one, but this is silly, so just relax. Take a deep breath. Are you going to tell me life's so serious? I mean, are you not just sick of everything that's going around? Take a deep breath and think about this. Who are Gumby's favorite Bible characters? That's right. That's right. I said Gumby. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego. Thank you very much. Who was the smartest man in the Bible? Smartest man in the Bible. Abraham, because he knew a lot. Come on. That's good. All right. Here, we'll get to the best ones, and then we'll quit. On the ark, Noah got milk from the cows. What did he get from the ducks? Quackers. All right. That's not that good. What animal could Noah not trust? You should know this. I've told you this before. What is it? What animal could Noah not trust?
A lion.
No, the cheetah. The cheetah. Which Bible character had no parents? Joshua, son of Nun. There you go. See, because it's N-U-N.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I love that. And some of our intro and exit music is so good. Let's see. I do have one last trivia question for you. Get ready. A little easier, I think. Trivia number 214-210-8483 to text to. Here's the question. Which psalm is this verse from? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And yes, I'm using King James on purpose. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Which psalm is that from? If you don't know, you only have to look at 150 of them. The text to 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. You can also ask questions, praise reports, prayer requests, whatever the case may be. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now we are going to do what I would consider to be the toughest of the four sections that I'm talking about in Ephesians today. Next week, like I said, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. So you're going to get a Baptist theological dose. Will not be what you're used to. That's okay. If you don't agree with everything I say, I don't mind. It's okay. As long as you are studying and pursuing and in the Word, that is what matters. If you come to a different eschatological conclusion than I do, God bless you. You're doing something that people who are Christians are doing, pursuing God. It's the worldly people that could care less. That's the whole point there. All right, again, I'm going to set this up, and then we're going to go into the teaching, the Bible verses from which psalm? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Which psalm is that from? And now we do what I definitely think is one of the hardest verses for Americans. Verse 18 in the first half of the verse, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. The word debauchery means wasteful living. It literally means a wasted life. Drinking in and of itself is not a sin. I know, people say, yes, it is. No, drinking alcohol is not a sin. Jesus drank wine, and then people go, well, there wasn't alcohol in the wine. Then why did they accuse him of being a drunkard? Okay, just out of curiosity, how'd that work? Anyhow, go back to the reality check. It's not the drinking that's the problem. Let's just have the honest, heart-to-heart, real conversation. It's drinking to be drunk. Now, you're listening to somebody who did an excessive amount of drugs. And, oh, my goodness, I just don't even want to go down that road. Just so long and so hard and so many bad things. And the bottom line was, there was this one thing that I was doing. It's the same thing that most people do. If there's just going to be an ounce of honesty anywhere, it would be fantastic. And that's people drink to get drunk in order to escape. They say it's essentially to feel good, but really, when you're drinking to get drunk, you're not trying to feel good, you're trying to feel nothing. And the reason people seek to escape is because their entire inward being is in misery. Just so you can know, there's even the passages in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes that talk about people that go through this process. Number one, if you're a person that drinks and you drink to get drunk and it's your way of escape, I'm just telling you right now, first of all, you're not alone, okay? Second of all, it says don't do this, which means that people were most likely doing it. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Doesn't mean Paul is like, I can never believe any of you ever drank anything. He's like, don't do this. Some of you are doing this, and you got to do a better job. And this issue gets really tough because you've got different programs and different elements that go into it. It's like, I don't care about any of that. Here's what I care about. The reason that we're trying to escape as a people is because in between our left and right ear is a lot of wind and a lot of waves. And we just want it all to be still. Now, I get the social aspect. I get the having friends and going out, and again, I'm not a teetotaler, and I'm not a guy that promotes you have to be that way, nor am I promoting you should be the other way. What I'm telling you is if you're drinking to escape, drinking will never answer the call that you're looking for it to do. It just won't. It's not that people don't try. If you look at Solomon's life, I mean, this is what's so amazing. He was so wealthy, did so many things, a great industry. He kept trying to add things into his life that would make his life better. Drinking was one of those things. And he tells you, it's a waste of time. Not going to work. And the reason it's not going to work is because it doesn't answer the bell. It doesn't answer the question that's lurking inside. And again, I just can't stress it enough. Not telling you not to drink beer, not telling you not to drink. I'm not telling you not to do anything. I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm just pointing out that the reason that people drink to get drunk is to escape. And if it's so a part of your life that you can't go a year without doing it, it's too much a part of your life. I don't care what this. Well, the standards say if you cannot do it for 3 weeks or 4 weeks, I don't want to hear it. Doesn't matter. I'm an addict who got delivered from drugs. I know what addiction is. You don't have to tell me. I just would rather be addicted to the Lord. I don't mind that people are addicted to exercising. At least they get in shape. But when you're doing something like being addicted to booze and it's ruining you, then that's not a good thing. And that need for escape and that wasteful living is a big part of what goes through our country on a regular basis. Let's just be forward and honest about it. This nation, if it's not drunk, is drugged out to the max. We have more people on we actually prescribe Prozac to little kids. We just want everybody to be mellow, mellow. Get the whole herd together, make sure everybody's mellow. It's easier to control, isn't it? Oh, it's so sad. Here's the bottom line. The real answer It's not that, oh, you never have to drink again, or you do have to drink again, any of that. None of that. The real answer is the solution for the need to escape is only in the Lord. It's not anywhere else. There's not enough pharmaceuticals, there's not enough drugs, there's not enough alcohol, there's not enough anything to give you the answer that you're searching for if you're looking to do it to escape. The only answer is found in connecting with Jesus Christ. I can testify to this personally. I can testify to it through talking about serious hard drugs. People do it because they're, you know, people say they're in pain, then they do it to numb the pain. They do it to escape. They do it to zombie out. They do it to quiet the waves. They do it to quiet the wind. Many, many, many people go through this, and instead of the church just going, "Thou drunkard," or the opposite, "Oh, it's not your fault at all. Let's just go to meetings." Those are both so ridiculous. You come before the Lord, you be honest about it, you be truthful about it, you get some help for it, you get accountability for it, and you make sure that it doesn't control you. Paul said, "I will not be mastered by anything." That's the key. And so the idea is that Paul's like going, look, don't drink and wine. Just, I mean, just, you're getting drunk on wine, drinking just a drink. And it's going to lead to nothing. Remember, it was Paul who said to Timothy, drink a little wine for thine often infirmities. It wasn't like they were teetotalers. It's like, well, what does that have to do with it? Well, because wine was medicinal back then, more so than it is now. It wasn't Boone's Farm that he was drinking, for crying out loud. So the idea is to just get a better grip on that, a more honest grip on that. And the church, I think the church doesn't know what to do about it. It's like that, whenever the church talks about drinking or drugs or sex, the church just kind of turns into a weird entity. Don't do that. You got a need for escape? Got it. Get to the Lord. He's the only one that can solve that conflict within you. There is no other place. Maybe you'll just do it less. Maybe you'll do a better job. Maybe you'll have a better day and a better week and a better month and a better year. But I can tell you one thing, you'll have a better life if you do it, if you take this to the Lord and surrender it to Him. That's what you want to be doing. Don't have a wasteful living. Have a reason for living. Okay? All right. Okay, Psalm 1 was the answer. For those who do not know, Psalm 1 was the answer on the trivia question. Great job, Joy. Props to you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.